Now, what is replacement theology? The debate over the idea of replacement theology, also called supersessionism, is becoming increasingly popular. Supporters believe it is a biblical principle, while non-supporters call it anti-Semitic and false teaching. In today's post-Christian culture, all Christians need to understand what this theology is. If it is biblical, how to defend the truth. So what is replacement theology? It has four main points. Let me read this. Christian and Jews primarily lived in harmony for hundreds of years before replacement theology began in the early second century. Replacement theology primarily teaches, now listen to me, because you need to get this, because if you miss this, you'll miss the rest of it. Replacement theology primarily teaches that the modern church has replaced Israel and is based on four central ideas. Let me give you the four central ideas. Number one, that God, and this is why replacement theology is taking over so good, because everybody wants to be blessed. Everybody wants the blessing, nobody wants to go through the trial. Everybody wants the good, nobody wants to deal with the bad. So replacement theology fits right in to the ideology, especially in the Western world. In America, it's like, oh yeah, I'm blessed, highly favored, and nothing's going to come my way that's going to harm me. Woo, you're in for trouble. God has, number one, there's four reasons. God has revoked his promises to Israel because they rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And they now belong to the Christian church. So replacement theology says that all of the things that God had given to Israel, he's revoked them because they rejected him, and now it belongs to the church only. That is incorrect. I don't have time today because it's 11:13. But you can go to Romans 11, and you can read Romans 11, specifically verse 17, and it'll talk about how we've been grafted in, and it talks about how the Jews did reject God, but the gospel was sent to the Gentiles in order to provoke them to jealousy so they'd come back to God. But it is not. The blessings and the promises have not been pulled from Israel and given to the modern day church. It's not there. You can't find it biblically, correctly anyway. Number two, that Jews are no longer God's chosen people. Nowhere in Scripture do you find that God has not, or that God has said, you're no longer my chosen people. You cannot find it in Scripture in any shape, form, or fashion. But that's what replacement theology says. Number three, that God has no future plans for Israel. It's my new Greek word, baloney. God has plans for Israel. God has always, from Abraham, had plans for Israel. Israel is mentioned in the end times where America is not, if you were wondering. So don't get high and mighty because we live in the good old United States of America. Because it doesn't really talk about us, but it sure talks about Israel. I mean, come on. We learned a couple of Wednesday nights ago, if you came, from our guest speaker on the the screen. That Israel is the only nation that existed, ceased to exist, and came back into existence. No other country, no other nation in the history of mankind has ever been cut off, done away with, and then come back to be noted as a nation. No other one. He's got plans. I'm just saying, he's got some plans for Israel. So that doesn't even work. I mean, think about it. 9 million people. And if you come on Wednesday, you learn this stuff because Doc showed us a lot of stuff. Help me. It's about the half the size geographically of Arkansas. Is that right? Maybe two-thirds? About half. Israel is only about half the size geographically of Arkansas. Did you know that? Just half. Boy, I wish I had that picture up, but it's just about half. 9 million people live there. We got cities that's 3, 4, 5 times bigger than that. Just cities. And there's only 9 million people there. God's got his hand on Israel. Don't ever think that he doesn't. Don't ever fall for the ideology that God has forsaken Israel, because he hadn't. Because no 9 million people could defend themselves like Israel without the hand of the Lord being on them. It's impossible. So God's got plans today, October the 22nd, 2023, for Israel. And should he tarry, he's going to have plans next week and next month and the next month. Come on, somebody. Number 4, God condemns the Jews for the Messiah's death. Well, if he's going to condemn the Jews for his death, he just well put that condemnation on you and I. God doesn't condemn them. He says in his word that he's not a condemning God. He didn't come to condemn. So how can he put that upon a person? How can he put the blame to them? He wouldn't. If he did, he knows all things. Why would he send his son to die on the cross? Well, this just doesn't make sense if we stop and think about it just a little bit. Use a little bit of common sense. Replacement theology is incorrect. It started around 155 A.D. Some of the early people that got on board with that, John Chrysostom, Martin Luther, Pope Paul IV, Germany had a big deal. Obviously, we know Germany hates the Jews. They fell all into this, man. Oh, this is great. Replacement theology, God doesn't love you. Let's kill them all anyway. Jewish people... Look, they're not godly. But not all of them are godly. We think, in America, we think when we see something about the Holy Land or Jews or something, oh, they're all godly people and they love Jesus and everything. That is not true. Where'd you get that? They party and dope, whore, and drug around like everybody else. But yet God chose them and he keeps choosing them. You know why? Because he keeps choosing you. Because we do the same thing they do. We keep doping, whoring, drinking, and doing all that stuff, and God keeps coming back at us. He's got a plan for your life. In your stuff, like King David, in your stuff, God still has a plan. Whether man says, well, you're done, God has no plan for you. No, God has a plan. Now, whether you line up with that plan is your business between you and God, but God has a plan for everybody's life. Amen. And this teaching, the reason I want you to know about this replacement theology, this leads, is one of the foundations of the anti-Semitism, anti-Semitic ideas that we see in America. This replacement theology that Jews are no good. They've got to have some kind of foundation to say that we need to get rid of the Jews. Well, man, this replacement theology just falls right in their lap. I watched articles last night. My wife and I were watching articles on television. On college campuses in America, there were like 15 or 20 of them. The protest and the signs, kill the Jews. And a lot of other signs were Palestine, the Israeli Holocaust, saying that, you know, because Israel's bombing in the Gaza of the Palestinians, that all of a sudden... Now it's the Holocaust of the Palestinians. Not all the Palestinians are bad either. Just like not all of the Americans are good. And they're not all bad. They're not all saved. Come on, somebody. So you've got to understand how we got to the place we are. And replacement theology is one of the foundations. Come about 155 A.D. is when this came around. Man, so soon after Christ's death. All right. Are you tracking with me so far? I'm not deep, but boy, I can't keep stuff together. So that's why I'm asking you. Not that you're not smart. I just don't say it the way I want it to come out sometimes. So why should America support Israel? Is Gaza really Israel's land? Now, if I can have the first map. And you're saying, which one is that? They're close. One with the lines on it. Okay. So, you see the red line. Okay, when I say, do you see the red line? You say, uh-huh, as a congregation. So you see the red line? Okay, great. So that's kind of what we're going to go with. Now, about, not quite halfway up in the green. You see the lighter green strip? And then on the top of that, over here on the right, you see a gray area. You see that? That's what they call the West Bank. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a minute. That's the West Bank. Now, the West Bank, East Jerusalem is part of that. Is that right? East. The eastern part of Jerusalem, the city, is in the West Bank. It's controlled by Palestinians and some mix. And depending on the different areas that you go, there are some Israeli-controlled territories in that area. But primarily about, I want to say half maybe. Would that be a good number? Half is controlled by Palestinians. A little more than that, about 60% controlled by Palestinians. I'm having to go back in some of my research, so he's a good researcher. And so that's the West Bank. Now, if you look a little to the left, come down to the bottom, you'll see a little bitty gray strip. Do you see it at the top right there? You see it? That's Gaza. That's the big fuss right now. That little strip, it ain't about that big. Little strip right there. That's Gaza. Now watch. Now, so if you throw up the second picture now, you'll get a little better idea. The red is West Bank. The yellow over here, that's Gaza, that little strip right there. Isn't this crazy? Now you got to realize, can we go back to the first picture? Boy, I'm working you today. Venice, y'all doing a great job back there. Let's give them a hand, man. They put up with me. I mean. Now, so from the yellow, you see the yellow at the top of the screen all the way down to the green down here at the bottom? That's Israel. That's it. Period. Half the size, roughly, of Arkansas. You can take 4 hours, and pretty much drive across Arkansas. Go from the bottom to the top in about 5.5, 6, if you got it, but you're going halfway across state to get the top. It's not a big area, is what I'm telling you. This is a small area. Go back to Gaza, whichever picture. And so all of this trouble that we're seeing is happening right there in that little highlighted yellow area. That's what's going on today. And you say, well, why didn't Israel just annihilate them? You give it a few more days and they will. Come on, somebody. Now, I want to say this. You're going to hear, you've already started hearing, I said this a week or so ago, not only because I figured this, but because I'd also heard this, so I'm secondhand in this information. You're going to hear, if you haven't already, that Israel needs to slack up. They're causing too much damage in Gaza. Now, that little strip right there. You're going to hear in this government, right now we're gung-ho, but if you'll pay attention, you'll hear some words and some little statements that really want Israel to back up. The United Nations, NATO, and all, they're really right now already pushing Israel to slack up. There's been too much bloodshed over some area that's really not theirs, they say. But I'm going to prove to you that it is theirs. In the Bible. Now, if you can go back to the other screen in a minute, you can go back there now, but that's the one I'm going to want up in just a minute. So, Genesis 15 and 18. This is where God makes a covenant with Abram. Well, you know where he split the meat and he laid it there and God made a covenant. Most of the time when you would make a covenant, you would take the carcass and you would split the breastplate and you'd put one here and one here. And if you made a covenant with someone, you would have the smoke and you would go in between it. And then they would come in between it, signifying a covenant. But Abram, if you remember, if you go back and read the story, you remember he fell asleep. Come on, Abraham. You got one job. Just stay awake. And he fell asleep. This is important. He fell asleep engaging in a covenant that would go from then until the earth stops as we know it. He fell asleep. It's just a little old covenant. Here's the significance. Now, I know God made him go to sleep. Because, see, the covenant was between God and his people. Not necessarily Abraham. It wasn't signified from humanity by one person. God says, I'll make the covenant, and I'll be the one who passes through the meat, and I'll be the one who passes through the smoke, because I'll make the covenant, and when I make the covenant, it cannot be broken. And this is what he says in the covenant. This is the instructions or the details, or at least a few verses of the detail. Genesis 15:18 says, and on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, to the Kenites, Kenizzites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Good Lord. How would you like to say, yeah, what's your nationality? I'm a Girgashite. What happened? Somebody throw up? I mean, what is that? Go back to that map with the lines. What I just read to you, if you go back and you got a, how many of you know you got maps in the back of your Bible? Some of you know that because you have to read a little bit and say, where's that? And you flip over. Because I do that. Those are pretty cool things. If you go back and you study all those names I just listed, you're going to see that approximately it is this red line that goes all the way up to the top. From history, they've charted this out, and that is approximately the boundaries of what God gave to Israel. Now, so you know, are you looking at the red line? You can look at either line on this, but you see the red line? Is the West Bank in its borders? Let me try it again. The gray area, I talked to you about being West Bank. Is it within the boundary? Now, we're going this way, not this way. Is the West Bank within the boundaries of Israel's territory that God gave them? Yes. You remember Gaza down at the bottom? Is Gaza in the territory that God promised them? Let's go home. You know the deal, right? You get it. See, to me, that settles it. You know how the old preachers say, the Bible says it and I believe it and that settles it? Well, you don't have to believe it for it to be settled. If God said it, it's settled. You can just take you out of the equation. So this is what, if you go back and study and you go home and study, you'll find this to be very close, this little map now, to the boundaries that God gave Abram and his descendants. Who are the descendants of Abram? Well, one, let me just help you. The children of Israel. And by the way, you qualify. Yep. Woo! All right. Are you learning anything so far? Yeah. All right. So I answered the first question, well, the second question. Is Gaza really Israel's land? Yes. Don't get tied up in this thing about the West Bank. All those poor people over there. There's about 600,000, maybe it's 900,000, Israelis living in the West Bank area. They are there, supposedly the Palestinians say they're illegal. That's what they state. They're illegal. But God gave it to them. I'm telling you this in a lot of things over and over so that you don't get caught up in the mainstream media thinking that Israel is a bad nation, that they're trying to take something that is not theirs. If I owned a parcel of land and I moved off for 40 years and I come back and I realized that whoever I had living there had allowed the neighbor to build his fence right up next to the house, I'm saying, wait a minute, I had more ground when I left. What's up? And my neighbor says, well, I took that. You wasn't around to stop me. But I've got a deed, a legal right down at the courthouse, documented deed with that crazy kind of legal description. You ever tried to read one of those? Thinking, dear Lord, man, just tell me it starts that post and ends that ditch and we're going to, you know. But I've got a legal right. And you're going to start searching that out to say, here's my legal right for this land. And you're going to fight to get that land back. Because it's why? Yours. Maybe your great-grandfather or your great-great-great-grandfather passed it on. It's been in your family for years. Well, Israel has a right to occupy their land. They're not there illegal. They're there because God said, this is yours, I give it to you. And I'm not talking about a judge setting up somewhere in some courthouse. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who established this earth, who spoke in existence the very thing that we know earth. And he says, now I'm going to give that to you. You need to think about this too. If God's given you a promise, it's yours. Quit letting the devil try to take it from you. Quit trying to let the enemy steal that thing from you. If he's promised you health, you go, you grab a hold to health. If he's promised you finances, if he's promised you, that you would prosper, spiritually speaking, that you would grow in the Lord, don't hang out down here with the old buzzards. Come on. You start getting a hold to God's word and start ingesting. Don't wait for God to just throw something on you. Get in God's word and you study and you figure out what's wrong with you. Everybody else already knows. Come on. You know that, right? When you got a problem, everybody else already knows. If you don't know, ask them. And they'll tell you how to fix you. They ain't never been there, but they'll tell you. Am I doing okay? All right. So here's why we should support America. Why America should support Israel. Hallelujah. My voice is leaving me, y'all. I'm going to hurry. Not really. Number one, because Israel is a country that believes in God and that believes that people are endowed with certain inalienable rights. Sounds a whole lot like somebody else's place, don't it? Israel is a parliamentary democracy. In some ways similar to ours, but it is different, but it's not a democratic republic. In other words, they have like, I think it's 5 or 6 different parties, if I'm not mistaken. And you can go back and you can question me on this, and that's fine, but I believe it's like 5 different, like we have the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, which is our 2 primary parties. They have 5 or 6 different ones, and so they have to get a super majority to get much passed, to get much going, okay? That's why they're changing presidents or leaders all the time, because they all can't agree on stuff. So they're much like us, but they're more in the democratic system. Now, how would you like, don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me what I'm fixing to say, okay? Say, I'm not going to be mad at you, Pastor, no matter what you say. The president that currently occupies a little White House up in the United States, up there in Washington, D.C., that is giving money, $6 billion to Iran and Ukraine. Don't fall in love with Ukraine just yet. They are places that money shuffles through to get to Hamas and Hezbollah and all those things that are coming against Israel. We've got to be careful. Prayerful carefulness, if that makes any sense. Who gets into the White House by your vote? Elections are coming up. It's not a political deal today. But we must have some kind of civilized democracy somewhere over in that part of the country. You say, well, what do they mean to us? They're 7,000 miles from us. Well, there's this little thing called a nuclear weapon. You ever heard of one of them? That Iran possesses, and probably Turkey and all the others over there. We just know of one. over there that we think for sure that we know. Saudi Arabia, probably all of those. We need an ally that thinks a little bit like us in that part of the country to protect you in the United States here in Arkansas. You didn't know Arkansas had a connection with Israel, did you? Well, that's why we got to have people in the White House that support Israel so we can stay, they can have our allies. So if something happens, we can send stuff, military efforts and supplies and ships and all that stuff in that area there, and a landing base for our military aircraft so we can take out that nuclear weapon before it gets to Arkansas. I'd much, you know, I was in my history class, and I had a guy that was in the World War I. He was old then, and you know, and he, not two, I'm sorry, Gloria, I ain't that old. And he was really old. I mean, like he was like death when he taught us. And we asked him about combat, and all you had to do if you want to get out of class, bring in some kind of a gun or something from military. It didn't matter what era, just a military. Oh, class is over, baby. You ain't having a test today. So we knew that. We wasn't dumb kids. He was sharp, though. I mean, we'd bring it in there, and oh, he'd start talking about, and for 45 to 50 minutes, like, he would talk about this weapon and all this stuff, and then like the last 3 minutes, he said, okay, you got three questions. This is going to count for all of your tests. Answer this, 1, 2, 3, and think, oh, man, my chances just went down. But we asked him one time, said, Mr. Davis, when you were in hand-to-hand combat, or if you had a choice between hand-to-hand combat and other types of combat, what would you pick? He said, always pick killing somebody over yonder. He said, because if they get close enough to stick you with, or you get close enough to stick them with your bayonet, they can stick you with their bayonet. Makes a lot of sense, right? That's why we need an ally. We need them over there. Stop before they get here. Well, that's an amen moment. Well, that's good. Number two, we need an ally in this part of the country due to the threat of nuclear war. Israel, listen to me, Israel is trustworthy. What they say they're going to do, they're going to do. I mean, think about it. You come over here and you bomb us, we're going to get you back. That's what Netanyahu said. And when they started bombing on the 7th of October, I believe it was, on the 8th, things wasn't looking that good for them, Palestinians and Gaza. Now, I'm not saying that all Palestinians are bad, because they're not. There's good Palestinians, just like there's good Americans and bad Americans and so forth, okay? I want you to understand that. I'm not against the Palestinian people. I am against the Hamas that runs that, those evil, sadistic people. And they are. But we got them in America now. But the war's not here yet. How many of you have seen anything where they're beheading the babies? You seen those pictures? I heard a lady last night before they didn't show this picture, thank God. I saw on news last night, one of the news channels was watching, where women, now watch this. I'm going to say something if you don't think your kid's old enough to say this. It's not going to be too graphic, but if you don't think you need, they can leave. I'll give you just a minute. If you're okay with that, it's fine. It's not going to be bad, but okay. A woman on the news said that from grandmothers to babies were being raped violently, that they were breaking the pelvises of women during this process. And they were cutting the heads off of babies while the mothers held them in their arms. It is demonic. It is evil. They're trying to annihilate God's people. That's why the thing's going, it's not because they just didn't like something. They're trying to annihilate God's people. Listen to me. There will never, ever, 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 ever be a two-state solution in Israel, in that part of the country. It will not happen. And you know why? Because Hamas and Hezbollah, they want the children of Israel, they want them gone. They want them annihilated. They want to extinguish them. There can never be a two-state solution when one party is not willing. They only come to the table to sign a little document to give them a little more time to regroup or get closer. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I believe everything. You don't have to believe anything I say. You can just read the Bible and know that they've been fighting against God's children the whole time. They had to fight to take the land to begin with that God gave them. They've been fighting ever since. And they're going to fight till God comes back. Number three. So first, we should support Israel. America should support Israel because they do believe in God, just like us. They have bad people that don't believe in God, and they have brothels and all that stuff, and they have bars and all that stuff. They do the same stuff over there as we do over here. Am I right? I've never been in there, right? Yeah. Amen. Say, well, I can't believe that. That's God's people. Well, so are you. What did you do last week? So number one, we need Israel. We need to support them because they believe in God, and they believe that their people have certain inalienable rights, just as America does. And they do have somewhat of a democracy over there. That you can work with someone who's democratic. They're open to new ideas and suggestions, and it's a democratic type system. You can work with them. You can't work with somebody who wants to kill you. No matter how you feel about the second president, Bush. They ask him, how do we deal with, after 9/11, how do we deal with these people? And his statement was something to this. You can't deal with anybody that's willing to give their life for their cause. You have to kill them. Now think about that. It's crazy. These people, Hamas, are willing to give their life for their cause. And then they want the world on their side when they get, well, when what's happening in Gaza. Number three, Israel produces, watch this, Israel produces technological goods and services that are imported into America. Do you know that 34% of all of the exports from Israel come to America, in whether that be diamonds, stones, that kind of stuff, fertilizers becoming a big thing. You know, it jumped really big. Praise God, farmers, we get fertilizer, get some cheap prices. Can I get amen up here from you guys? Amen. And so that jumped like 200-something% this year, producing fertilizers coming to America. Praise God. A lot of your little small parts and different things from your phones and computers and things, all of that stuff, a lot of that stuff comes from there. We need them because we're in bed so deep with China. Man, we're in trouble. All I got to do is look. If China just said, I'm not shipping you any more iPhone 47s. Are we at the 47 yet? 15. Yeah, we said that this morning. Somebody told me, now you look, you don't raise your hand if you got one of these unless it was given to you, and I won't think anything less of you, but somebody told me an iPhone 15 was $1,200. Don't raise your hand. All China got to do is stop sending cell phones and we're going to go nuts here in America. They wouldn't even do that. Oh, no, I'm so depressed. I'm deprived. I don't get my smartphone. It cost my mom and daddy $1,200 and I need to upgrade tomorrow. What you need is a job. 34% of Israel's exports come to America. This is why we need to support Israel. They give us stuff in return for money, obviously, because it's a trade system. And so we need them there because they supply America some great things, technology. You know, they're some smart folks. Very savvy with money because they understand biblical principles. All right, and I'm going to try to hurry. Number four, and this is the last one. They are. This is why we should. This is the main reason why you should support Israel. This is the main reason. If for none of the other three or four, this is it. They are the only nation, listen to me, the only nation God has ever made a covenant with. Not with America, as good as we are and as much as God's blessed us. And no, he has not made a covenant with any other nation other than Israel. I don't think you got that. The God that spoke to the waters when he said, rescind in Genesis chapter 1, and I'll draw a line in the sand, and this is as far as you can come. Oh, 4,000 years ago, and it's still there. Oh, I get so tickled at the climate change people, and I love you if you're here. If you're just wrong. Thinking that a glacier up there is going to melt and come down here and fill this up, and the first 450, 500 yards of the sea line is going to go underwater. Well, that's not true. I've been here 50 years, and the same houses, other than a hurricane come about, them same houses still in the same spot, and the water's still where it was. You know why? Because the Bible says, I'll draw a line, and water, you can't go past this. I don't care what melts and where it melts. It can melt in hell for all I care. It ain't going to do nothing here. You read your Bible, you're going to find out God's got this thing. I'm talking about the God that breathed breath into a man and he became a living soul. That God made a covenant with Israel. The one that the Bible says, who is man that you are even mindful of us? And he made a covenant that he cannot break with a group of people. And somehow, American churches, a lot of them, believe, well, we shouldn't support Israel. Well, I want to tell you, as long as I'm your pastor, we'll support Israel. If you don't want to do that, let me know. We can have a vote and you can get somebody else. But I'm going to support Israel in this house. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I won't be mad at you. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Says this, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special, watch this, treasure to me above how many people? All. Above all people, for all the earth is mine. See, what I want you to understand is God said the earth is mine. I'll lay out your boundaries just like I did the waters. I'll tell the stars when to shine and the sun when to shine and when everything to set and move around. I'll tell all the galaxies to move around. I'll do that. I'm that God, and all the earth is mine. I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to make a covenant with you. That's a serious deal. That's a big deal. I like this. And he says that you'll be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but it doesn't get any more plain than that. Because I believe the Bible. And I believe what that Bible says. And what that Bible says is going to come to pass if it hadn't already. Okay? And so it's happening. They're going to be his people. They're already his people. Always have been. Always will be. They can blow up and send crazy rockets and missiles. Israel is going to be there. That doesn't mean you shouldn't support them and pray for them because God's got his hand on it. But if you choose not to, Israel's still going to be there tomorrow. They're going to be there tomorrow. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 12. Talking about a covenant. I'm closing here. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. Stop right there. Can you put the map back up there with the red and blue line on? Genesis 12:1. Is that piece of land. that he's going to show Abram, get out of your country. I'm going to show you this, and it's going to be yours and your descendants forever. You figure out what forever is. That's the property. Back to verses, please. Verse 2, Genesis 12, 2. Now I will make you a great nation. Let's think about that. Great nation. I think of America as a great nation. Come on, we're great. Even though we got some whack somewhere, we great because people think you're whack too. Amen. We just all whack going in the same direction. America's great. A great nation. Vast. It's a big place. A few years ago, I got the privilege of going to the Grand Canyon. You know what the first thing came to my mind when I saw the Grand Canyon? You're not going to believe it. Well, some of you will. You're not going to believe it. The first thing that came to my mind when I walked up to the edge, you know what came to my mind? Y'all want to know? Inquiring minds want to know what was in my mind, right? Evel Knievel must have been an idiot trying to jump this. That's the first thing that came into my mind. Some of you thought it was going to be more spiritual. Oh, look at God's majesty. No, Evel Knievel's an idiot. No wonder he's broken. He's doing stuff he can't do. No, it's so huge. So it's beautiful. I mean, so you could just look down there and see a little dot. And it was a raft or something. You're thinking, man, that's a long ways down there. This thing is vast. The vastness of the United States is great. And he calls Israel, I'm going to make you a great nation. Huh? It's the size of half of Arkansas. It doesn't really qualify to me to be a great nation. I'm thinking, let's get some land mass here. Okay, y'all don't read the Bible like I read the Bible. Okay. Do you think that's something great? I mean, we got this big spot and Israel's got the little strip. See, he wasn't talking about great as in the spread of land. When God put his boundaries on the land that he was going to give them, it turned out to be a great nation, still is. Look at all the stuff that comes from there to here. I mean, that place, you put water on, anything will grow. Y'all need to read the Bible. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Most people around the world don't even know Arkansas exists. You went to another country, say, I'm from Arkansas. And they said, I knew you somewhere. I'm from Arkansas. We woo pig suey. They say, huh? That's what we're known for. Come on, somebody. We're known for a pig. You thought you was something. Don't worry about it. Mississippi's known for a dog, a bulldog, but hey. But you go across the world, and nobody even heard of Arkansas, and we're twice the size of Israel. But you go anywhere around the world, and everybody's heard of Israel. You know why? Because God says, I'll make you a great nation, and I'll bless you. And when I set up some territory and some boundaries, well, they'll be yours forever. That's what I'm talking about. See, God knows. Let's see this. And you shall, watch this. I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Israel's a blessing. Do you understand? Because Israel's blessed that you're blessed. You get that picture? Because he made a covenant, because the Jews rejected him, and he made the Jews jealous, and Paul was able to come into the Gentiles, and we got grafted in like the wild olive. Hebrews 11. You got to go read it, 17. You start about Hebrews 11, 1, go through. But 17 specifically says how the other children of believers in Christ are grafted in as a wild olive tree. And he talks to Israel and says, just because you're the branch, you don't control the root. But I control who gets nourished, and I can graft in whom I choose. Therefore, you get grafted in as Americans into the blessings. Come on, somebody. And you ought to have the heart and weep for the people of Israel, because I know you want the blessings. They're over on the front fighting a war to keep a great nation, and we get the benefits. Woo! Verse 3, and I will bless those, here's where we're going to conclude. and I will bless those who bless you. Do I need to explain that? You be good to me and I'll be good to you. Except God says this, since I've chosen Israel, I will bless those who bless you. If you want to be blessed and not cursed, you better start supporting Israel if you hadn't. You better be praying for Israel if you hadn't been. You better be lifting up that leadership over there. And you better be praying for your president up in Washington that we don't make a goofy mistake. And you better be praying for this country that we don't get off on this sympathetic, empathetic side saying the Palestinians are getting killed and it's just too much and Israel needs to back off. You need to be praying for your country. Because I'm here to tell you, the way it goes in Israel is the way it's going to end up over here. I guarantee it. Because if God chose them people and made a covenant with them, guess what? It's going to stand. And if he said in his word, I'll bless those that bless you, and this is what he says, and I will curse him who curses you. America is in a dangerous place when we allow, Lord, I hope I say her name right, Talita Rashib. Yeah. Amen. What was Michigan, the Detroit, they're thinking? Not much. They elected that woman in. She is spewing all types of anti-Semitic stuff and tweeting it out. She's a congressperson, for God's sake, in America. We need to pray against her and the demonic forces that's spewing that cursing out of her. She represents America. And we need to be praying against her. Praying that the Lord would cut her tongue out or shut her up or kill her or something. In Jesus' name. I mean, the most Christian kind of way. I'm telling you, she represents this country. She's an elected official. Come on, somebody. I ain't trying to be funny. I'm being really real in Jesus' name. That needs to stop, because if she spews out that cursing and these college campuses are cursing Israel, guess what? That's coming our way because the Bible said so. I'll curse those that curse you. I'll bless those that bless you. We better get more people blessing Israel than we got more people cursing Israel in this country. Or we're going to see the wrath of God. There's an equalness to God. There's this love of God, but also right equally, there's a wrath of God that's as equal to his love. God help us. And then this, and all, and this is why replacement theology doesn't work for this, but it also lets you know that you're grafted in as well. In verse 3, the last verse. And in you, some of the families of the earth shall be blessed. So that ain't what it says. It says all. And in you, in Israel, all of the earth shall be blessed if we bless Israel. I don't know about you, but I like blessings more than I like cursings. And I'm quite certain, because I've never been cursed by God, but I'm quite certain that I'm going to love God's blessings more than I'm going to love his cursings. It's 11:59. I'm done. Come on, somebody. We've actually taken a 7,000-mile trip around the world and got back before noon. Now, you can't beat that. I mean, Lord Jesus, that ought to be worth another offering. You know I love you, and if I got on your toes, and I'm sorry in a biblical way, but I'm going to be honest with you. You won't ever change my mind about this. I can be swayed on some things, and look at it, but this is too plain. I believe in Israel, and I believe that God's standing with Israel and going to stand with Israel, and I believe America, the further we get from Israel, the less the blessings are going to flow. So I want to encourage you to pray for Israel. I want to encourage you to start praying for Israel. Israeli people. Hey, pray for the Palestinian people that are innocent. Now, the others need Jesus. They need Jesus. Yeah. Come on. They're going to go to hell. Yeah. It's hard for me to pray for those folks like that. It is. I ain't going to lie to you. It is. As your pastor, I'm telling you the truth. But the Bible says I'm supposed to pray for them and love them, my enemies. And you too. Let's pray for them. That they'd come to know Jesus before they meet him face to face, because they're going to meet him. And you get sources of information other than CNN or ABC or NBC. There's many good, reputable sources of information out there. And you look around and get some stuff. Don't be all one-sided. Get a mix. Get your opinion. Does it line up with God's word? And if it doesn't, you say, that's just what I thought, and throw it out. Amen. I love you. I'm going to bless you before you go. Amen. Amen.